Was some good news as Zach tweeted out earlier this hour that Mike Clevenger is going to head to Arizona and probably be back somewhat soon. But Zach Meisel now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's start with that good news because there's a lot of bad news, Zach. I know you tweeted about, got the update on Clevenger. He's eligible to come off the DL 2 weeks from today. Sounds like he's not too far behind that, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be exactly June 7th, but he's going to head to Arizona for about a week just so they can have him in a controlled environment and, you know, he doesn't lose a start to a rain out and they can monitor his workload, stuff like that. So he'll go there for a week and then I assume he'll join, I don't know what the minor league team schedules are, but he'll join one of those teams and would probably make a couple of starts there and then be ready to come back.
You know, Zach, Dustin's been screaming that the season's over. He was one of the few people to pick the Twins. I give him credit. Not that it's over yet, but it feels like it's over. While the rest of us kind of just believed the Indians would find a way with their pitching, and obviously it hasn't happened. You know, this 20-game stretch where they're playing all good teams except for the White Sox, which started with Oakland, is off to a bad start 0-4. If they are miserable in this 20-game stretch where they play the Yankees, the Twins, the Rays, the Red Sox, if they, let's say they go 5-15, 6 and some really terrible number, and they're 10, 11, 12 games out, are they trading Bauer next month?
Yeah, I don't. So I think the next 3 weeks will determine the rest of the season. As it seems like a more profound statement than I guess my tone would indicate, but I think just because this is maybe the toughest stretch of the season, period, just in terms of who you have to play and just. With what they have, like they could fall pretty far out of it. And so I think that'll determine the course of action. However, I'm not entirely convinced that like Bauer could be traded either way. I think they have to realize here, and I think they will or have realized, like just if you get back in this race and you claw back and maybe you're chasing the Twins the rest of the summer, you're only a few games behind, like, I don't know that you're necessarily like in a good spot though, even if that happens. And you know, they're going to have to weigh, would we be better off for the future and the present if we did trade Bauer for a hitter or two who are younger and we'd have control over for multiple years? Like that's something they're going to have to think about once Clevenger gets healthy, once they see where they're at with Kluber. And once they see how these 3 weeks go, like I'm not convinced that they might do some buying and some selling and try to get creative to, you know, I don't know if they're going to throw up a white flag. I don't think they're going to trade Francisco Lindor during this season, but I think maybe they'll try to position themselves to be better equipped to contend next season and the year after that.
You know, we've been talking about you know, where he could go, and Adam, you know, obviously mentioned the Astros because Chris Rose brought it up on the midday show. I believe yesterday or the day before. Like, is there a certain package of guys you would go after or a certain team you would target if you're the Indians?
Yeah, I think they really like those. It's kind of what they were looking for in the offseason. Just they want – you prefer hitters because that's what they need. And you want guys who are on the cusp of making their major league debut or maybe it's their rookie season. I mean, all the names you heard, like Alex Verdugo, Nick Senzel – and there are guys out there who would fit that. And you look at the teams who would be interested. I know the Padres have like they were still scouting Bauer early this season, even after opening day. So they would be interested. Certainly the Astros, like the one thing they probably need is a third starting pitcher behind Cole and Verlander. You know, the Yankees might need starting pitching. I mean, there would be a long list of suitors. So you should be able to get what you're looking for. You just can't have too high of standards like they did over the offseason.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of regret, Zach. You know, we have lauded the Indians front office because for the most part in recent years, they've done a great job. But this season, they got to get some blame here. With all the credit, when it goes wrong, you got to get some blame. Now, some of it's obviously on ownership because in the middle of a playoff run, they have cut the payroll, which is a disgrace. But they knew this lineup. There were too many ifs. We talked about it. And we knew if the stars didn't play like stars, there was no margin for error. Well, most of the stars have not played like stars or they've been hurt. And so the margin for error was non-existent. And the lineup, all the maybes in the lineup have failed. Everyone, Zach.
Yeah, so I think it honestly goes back before the offseason, though, because as Bull, we've talked about over and over, I feel like every time I'm on your show, you'll mention Domingo Santana.
Yes. Tommy Pham.
Yeah. And Marcell Ozuna. I mean, there are a ton of guys who we could even mention Christian Yelich. Like,
why not?
There are a ton of outfielders who have come and gone, and they didn't jump on. And, like, it wasn't maybe as pressing of a need as it was this past offseason. And, you know, the thing that's tough is that, it's almost like it was too late. Like, you add one of those guys to the lineup, and I'm not even sure it would be enough. But had you made some more correct moves in the past, it would have made your offseason easier, I think. You wouldn't have had to be so perfect. And so it's a combination of, you know, like what you said about ownership and the front office. You know, it seemed like for a couple of years there they couldn't miss, and now it seems like everything they touch goes to disaster. I mean, they picked Carlos Gonzalez and Hanley Ramirez when Derek Dietrich signed a minor league deal, and it's been fantastic.
Adam Jones, Jose
Iglesias. Like, there were guys out there, they just picked wrong. And so that's obviously hurting them. The fact that they have no margin for error to begin with is a big problem too. And it's not like those guys looked at this roster and were like, oh yeah, our offense will be fine. Like, they knew. Everybody in Northeast Ohio knew that this lineup had several glaring holes, not just in the outfield, but at, you know, we didn't know if the catching position would hit, if first base DH would hit, if second base would hit. And you can't overcome all those question marks. And so far to the season, like you said, like, every single one has been a dud.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man, you mentioned Yelich, and obviously Yelich wasn't this good with Miami. He's obviously become one of the best players in baseball with the Brewers. But, like, going back, like, if you would have offered Francisco Mejia, Tristan McKenzie, and a third and Nolan Jones, you could have gotten Yelich for that.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? I mean, you know, maybe you tweak it. Who knows? But what did they get? I mean, the best player they got was Lewis Brinson.
Yeah, I think there's some guys at the lower levels who could be good. But, like, those are the types of prospects who, like, the Indians would have loved to give up.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And the issue is, like, I don't think they knew. I mean, they obviously ended up using Mejia in a trade anyway. So I think the issue that they had was they couldn't use all their ammo at once, because they had to save some, because they couldn't spend any money and they had no flexibility. Their you know, MO has been mid-season trades. And so it's like they have to save every chip they have until July. And, well, that was the plan going into this year, but it's not like one simple trade is going to fix everything that's ailing this team. And because of that, that's why, if they're buyers, I don't know that you can be an aggressive buyer and go all in, because what are you going all in for? To win a wild card?
Fair. Like,
you know, they're in a really tough spot, and there are really no, I don't know that there are any desirable solutions.
Why has Bobby Bradley not been called up?
I think he will at some point. I mean, the lineup is rough. I mean, we've seen Mike Freeman hit sixth and start in left field this week. We're seeing Eric Ott DH tonight.
We've seen Jordan Luplo hit cleanup.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I'm with you. I mean, it's. You might as well throw him in there. This lineup lacks power. Like, I know the Major League Baseball loves to have a hometown guy in the Home Run Derby every year. And, like, this year, is it going to be Roberto Perez? Is it going to be Leonis Martin? Like, it's ugly. So they need power any way they can get it. I would expect Bobby Bradley at some point this summer. I just think also it's, you know, you don't want to just use all these guys at once. They are still trying to win. They do still want to give Jake Bowers time and see Oscar Mercado. So, it's just ugly right now. I think you'll see them at some point.
I think the odds are that the Indians are going to be sellers in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know, you talked about it. I think there's a good chance they'll trade Bauer this season. I agree with you. They're not going to trade Lindor in season. And the question will be at the end of the year, do you think you can make another run? And if you do, then you keep Lindor for at least one more year. If not, you maybe trade him in the offseason, as depressing as that is. But who else? Is there anybody else they could trade? Like, could you trade Carlos Santana if you ate some of the money? I don't know. I don't know how much value he has. The problem is I just don't see who else they could. I guess you could trade Brad Hand, especially if you're thinking about completely blowing it up after the year. I don't know. Brad Hand could get you something back, certainly. What do you think?
Yeah, he's got a pretty nice salary for the next couple of years. So he cost the Indians their top prospect last year. I don't know if he would fetch that much now, but he still should get you a decent haul. The issue is, and people will say, like, oh, tear it down, full-scale rebuild, but that's not going to happen, because you look at the future of this team, and it's a 23-year-old starting pitcher, Shane Bieber, who's pitching tonight. It's Clevinger, who's still got several more years of control. You locked up Carrasco for four more years. So, like, you still have a foundation that they're going to try to build around. I don't, you know, you would have to trade all of those guys and restart. They've got a stockpile of 18 and 19 year old kids who they're really high on, who are playing in like rookie ball and low A right now. And so, yeah, like they think they'll be good in 2024, but like, you know, you're not going to just completely tear down and trade away 9 or 10 guys right now and wait for them. So it's, you know, the tough part too is the fan base. Like you can't, the biggest shame to me is that this was supposed to be like a party in Cleveland this summer.
Yeah.
You're hosting the All-Star game.
Sucks.
Like this was, you're supposed to be the epicenter of baseball and excitement. You'd have Lindor showing everybody around his city. You'd have Ramirez participating in the Home Run Derby. Maybe Trevor Bauer would have started the All-Star game. The Indians would be on top of their division. It'd be the talk of the town. And instead, it's like no one even can stomach watching this team because it's just brutal baseball. You're going to have the All-Star game, and then you know you might have to go trade some of those guys who are in the All-Star game. Like,
yeah, and their only rep is going to probably be Brad Hand as of right now.
Yeah, and so it's just this has gone completely, you know, averse to what it should have been. And I think that's it's just so frustrating that we're sitting here talking in May about who they might sell off in a couple of months. But that's the reality. And that's what their planning and their operation has gotten them.
Zach, what's going on with Jose Ramirez?
You know, I think I really think it's all mental. I think it's a matter of, like, they've shown him tons of video. He was looking at video today of, like, here's what you look like, your stance, your mechanics at the plate in 16 and 17 when everything was going great. Here's what you're doing now. And I honestly think it's just there's too much going on, because you can compare what was going well for him then and what's not going well now, but pitchers are doing different things and defenses are doing different things. And, you know, he's every time he comes up to the plate now, he's got four fielders to one side of the field. You know, pitchers are not giving him the fastball, because we've seen it. Like the other night, he just flicked the fastball into left field the other way. It was simple. And like, he could do that more often. He should do that more often. I actually thought of the idea, like, maybe he should hit first and have Lindor hitting behind him, and he would get fastballs to hit, and he could just stop trying to yank everything over the fence and just focus on getting on base so that pitchers have to respect you more and give in to you. But I really think it's mental. I think there's just so much pressing going on, and he's working so hard to try to get out of this that it's kind of being detrimental.
Last thing, Zach, Jason Lloyd was on with us earlier. He told me he talked to Bauer recently, and Bauer believes he has fixed himself, said his mechanics were off. What can you tell us further about that, and are you buying it?
Yeah, he threw a 15-pitch, like kind of like a bullpen session today, basically just to test out his mechanical delivery changes. He was throwing it as of like 45 minutes ago, so I don't know how well it went, but, you know, he's smarter than any of us will ever be at knowing how to pitch. He's probably smarter than anyone else in that clubhouse at knowing how to pitch and what to fix when things aren't going right. And I know he was studying video for a while and kind of frustrated that he wasn't quite seeing things. And then it was almost like a eureka moment where I think he figured it out. So I trust him. I don't have anything else to go off of, but you know, he's been able to basically make himself into an All-Star caliber pitcher. So I have no reason to believe why he wouldn't be able to fix himself when things go awry.
Any concern at all that he's thrown more pitches than anybody in baseball, including, you know, Francona sending him back out there in the sixth with over 100. I know he pitched great in the sixth, but he was over 110 pitches already at that point.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that the other day, and then I looked, and like two of his previous three starts, he had thrown 88 and 99. He says it's not an issue because he's still throwing 96 miles an hour. He still has bite to his curveball, you know, when he's at pitch 115. So, you know, I think he would say something if it was too much. He's always said he could throw 150 pitches and be fine. So I don't have that concern. He doesn't have that concern. So to me, it's a non-issue.
All right, Zach, it's a depressing time, sadly, for the Tribe. Hopefully it will turn around soon. We'll see. Thanks for joining us, as always.
You got it, guys. Keep your heads up.
Thanks. Yep, Zach Meisel of The Athletic. Thanks to him for joining us.